Well, we appreciate Brother Richard's presentation, and we've seen another superiority of bed sheets over PowerPoint, and again, I think sheet is winning so far as what works the best and what doesn't go south as bad, but we do appreciate the lesson, and I felt like it was informative. Anyway, now we're going to open up questions. And again, the principles of the assembly as taught in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 will apply. Only one man will speak at a time, and men only will speak. If you have a question, you're a brother in the church, raise your hand. We'll get the microphone to you. Stand up and talk into the microphone. Ask a question to Richard, and he'll do his best to answer it. And then give it back to Eric Hernandez, who'll be passing it around. So if you have a question, just raise your hand, and I'll see that the microphone comes to you. Glenn Osborne.
There are many other passages that could be cited, but Colossians 4, verse 3 says, "And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains." And there are many of these open door passages in the scriptures. I guess my question is this isn't limited to the age of spiritual gifts.
No.
Is it? Okay, it's just simply appealing to the providence of God to bless our efforts. And therefore, do you believe this passage then applies to all ages? And should we be praying for open doors today?
Well, Glenn, I think so. I think we should pray for open doors. And you know, something that occurred about 20 years ago was that I remember when I was younger in the church that I would hear brethren pray that the gospel might go into other parts of the world. And when the wall fell in Germany and when Russia was opened up, we were all caught by surprise because we were unprepared. Folks had been praying for something that they either didn't believe would occur, or they were praying for something that they didn't realize the responsibility that was going to be involved in that, because we didn't have people that were ready for the great undertaking. So yeah, I do believe that if we pray for an open door, and I think we should, that an open door will be provided.
Georgia. Thank you, Richard. Would you explain Ecclesiastes 9:11 and that phrase that's used there, that time and chance happen to them all? What does that mean, and how does it apply to your topic?
Well, of course, time and chance happen to all men, and he's referring to there's random events that occur in people's lives that will occur. It's not a matter of, I don't look at this as a matter of saying, well, if I go down to the casino and gamble that, I'm going to win if I stay there long enough. If you stay there long enough, you'll lose, because there are certain mathematical odds that are in place there. But there's random events that occur in life to all people. I believe you have a car accident. It just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that you're immune to having a car accident. Or just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that, lightning won't hit you, whatever. There's random events that occur in life. I believe this passage is simply saying that, time and chance occurs to all men. So,
Ronnie Wade.
I think one of the clearest
Bible illustrations of providence and miracle and natural law is in the birth of Samuel. We all know that people are born by natural law.
Yeah.
And we know that Jesus' birth was a miracle.
Yes.
Samson's birth was providential.
Mm-hmm.
Hannah had not been able to have a child, and she prayed to the Lord, and he opened her womb. And it clearly was not a miracle, but it certainly was a providential birth, because God had intervened.
Mm-hmm.
And in the same way, I believe God intervenes in our lives today. It's much easier, and I'd like you to comment on this, it's much easier to look back on an event or a series of events and realize the providence of God was at work. It's more difficult, however, to look into the future and predict that providence will work in a situation just as the illustration of your son. You probably never thought providentially that things were going to work out like it did. But as you look back on it, you see providence was at work. And it seems to me that we have to be careful sometimes that we don't forecast something which we don't have any reason to do so. We do know that God will bless us and care for us, and but the best will come out of it.
Yes. Ronnie, you're absolutely right, because a forecast indicates then a miracle. And when people start forecasting events that are very improbable or what might seem impossible to folks, then they're you know, talking in the miraculous. And you just, you know, I don't think you want to go there. You know, as a Christian, you don't want to be a prognosticator of future events. And yes, the, you know, looking at the past, take by revelation the story of Joseph. You know, when he was sold by his brothers into slavery, and then was taken by the caravan of Midianites down to Egypt and sold on an auction block, what was going through that young man's mind? You know, I don't know. He had faith in God, I do know that, but, you know, he was looking, and he may have been thinking, why is this happening, you know, and my family, you know, they don't love me, and all of these things. But years later, when his brothers are knelt before him as the second in command of all of Egypt, it's clicking in his head, and he knows why all of these events have occurred. And he says to his brothers, you meant this for my harm, but he says, God meant it for good. And so you see, he could look back and he could say with assurance then that what had occurred was, you know, the oversight, the providence of God.
A lot of times, especially when you're working with the congregation, you face people who are on the verge of making a decision that doesn't seem to be wise, and maybe it may not seem to be scriptural. But people will say, well, I really feel that God is leading me to do this. This is the person God wants me to marry, or this is the job God wants me to take, because I would have never encountered them otherwise. I know that God brought me to meet this person. I know God got me this job, because it's totally inexplicable otherwise. I wondered if you could comment just a little bit about the difference between those who talk about extra-biblical leading, God is directing them and leading them outside of his revelation, and the idea of God blessing us providentially.
Well, God leads us through the Word. If you're going to talk about being led, this is the book. I had a young couple that was sitting at my table, it's been two or three years ago now, and of course he was looking for work because that he had lost his job in Cincinnati, and they were coming to church. I was having a Bible study with them, and he said, I just want to go where the Lord leads me and wants me to be. And I'm there eating my mashed potatoes, and I looked up and I said, I don't think God cares where you live. And it just took him by shock. He had a denominational background, and he's He looked at me like I had said something that was irreverent even. And I said, well, I said, let me explain. I said, God told Noah and his family to go into all the world and to repopulate it. So I said, is it wrong to live any place in the world? God said, go and live there. And he said, well, I guess not. But he says, I think God wants, you know, us to live certain places. I said, do you think there are no good people in Cincinnati? And he says, I'm not saying that. I said, do you think that the, he was talking about going someplace down in Georgia. I said, do you think the people in Georgia are better than the people in Ohio? No, he wasn't saying that either. I said, God doesn't care where you live. I said, when you're looking for a job, you need to look in this book right here and you ask yourself, you know, is the job that I'm taking, is it morally right? Is the job that I'm taking, is it going to be one that will jeopardize my family's spiritual well-being, like Lot moved towards Sodom? That wasn't a good idea. It wasn't, a good idea because there were wicked people that were living there, but predominantly wicked people. I said, you ask yourself several questions about, you know, the work, and then that's God's direction to you, but you've got free choice on what kind of work you do and where you live and all of that. And I believe that's true. I have some relatives that just wear me down at times with, you know, saying, well, you know, we're waiting for God's will on things. And what it means is that they just don't want to make decisions that are good decisions about anything. They're waiting until something great happens to them that they want to do. And if that doesn't happen, well then, you know, God just hasn't revealed his will yet. And they're deceived. People that think that, they're deceived.
Anybody else have a question? Mike, you have a question?
Clint, are you just, I mean...
Well, yeah, I am. I'm trying to be official. In the meantime, I will ask. I never said anything about special providence. I don't know. Maybe Shaw had told him, but I don't know. You know, he, as you can see with the PowerPoint, Brother Richard tends to deflect blame toward other people at times. And so I think he was... I don't think we ever asked him to talk about special providence, but...
You're red. You're really red, you know that.
But we do appreciate his talk.
Thank you. And
I especially appreciate what you said about, how God provides things for us in evangelism. You know, this is really the answer, I think, to the question of, what about all these people out here who've never heard the gospel? I think the Bible promises that people who want to know the truth, God can get them with people who can teach them the truth. And we ought to be very thoughtful when someone comes up to us with a Bible question, because we don't know if God didn't have a hand in getting us together with that person.
Yeah.
I appreciate that very much. I'll give you time to think. Anybody else have a question? Do you have any concluding remarks?
Well, I do appreciate that you allowed me to give this talk. You know, this is not providence is not something that I talk about a lot, although I have strong feelings about it. And, you know, I talk sometimes with brethren that, you know, I think that they're afraid of providence because they think that they say, well, you know, this may lead you to, you know, Pentecostalism or whatever, and I don't believe that. I believe God is concerned about us and that he provides for us. And if I thank God for blessings, I really do believe he gave them to me. So thank you.